Jess, you're doing work with bees. What's the importance of bees?
Well, bees are hugely important. They're important both to sort of terrestrial ecosystems at large and to humans specifically. So from a completely selfish standpoint, basically one in every three bites of food we eat was produced through pollination, and most of that pollination was performed by bees. So we rely on bees to feed ourselves, but we also rely on bees to pollinate plants that help us fuel our cars, that help keep soils intact, that keep ecosystems healthy and happy, and that keep ecosystems biodiverse. So pollinators are sort of a truly fundamental and essential ecosystem service.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that because you're actually doing a project that Alberta Innovates is helping to support, and they're looking again at ecosystem services and what role pollination can play, or what's the economic value of this particular ecosystem service. Can you describe the project for me, the part that you're doing?
Absolutely. So for the past 2 years, we've been working with Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute, and we've been working specifically on characterizing the diversity and abundance of wild bees in the province of Alberta. This has never been done before, and so it's our first step at understanding how many bees we have and where they're found on the landscape and how their communities are structured. And it's going to help us understand how many ecosystem services are available across the province and also where our ecosystem services are potentially at risk.
Are you working with any particular crops?
Yeah, our work with ABMI is actually done in canola fields primarily, and we have a partner project funded by the Alberta Livestock and Meat Association that's happening in sites close by in rangelands. So we're working in two paired agro ecosystems, highly managed ecosystems like canola fields, which provide a lot of forage for pollinators when they flower, and less managed ecosystems like rangelands, which provide a lot of wildflower as well as habitat for the bees.
Well, let's look at canola. What role do bees play in pollinating canola?
That's a great question. We actually are still learning a lot about the role of bees and canola pollination. We actually, in my lab group, were just funded 2 weeks ago to start working on canola production and working with canola producers to understand the role of wild bees in canola production here in the province. And that's work we'll be doing with the Canola Council of Canada. What we know is that in some very small-scale experiments, canola can have increased yield when it's pollinated by bees, but that there are a lot of restrictions on how to improve ecosystem services that bees provide to canola fields. So that's one of the things we're going to be starting to look at next year.
How would you even do that? Do you go out and count bees?
That's a great question. Yeah, we do. Our surveys are actually really intense. My graduate students have been doing these very, very time-intensive surveys of pollinator populations. We do a combination of pan trapping, which is essentially putting out plastic bowls in fields that are filled with soapy water and that are attractive to bees, and the bees are trapped in these bowls, and then some hand netting for larger-bodied bees. This is something that often takes hours and hours at every site, and we capture all of the individuals and bring them back here to the lab to identify them. Right now, we have two seasons of data that we're working on to understand bee biodiversity. We have over 18,000 specimens that we've had to ID in the last 2 years.
Now, when you say bees, it's sort of a collective name for them, but are there different kinds of bees that are involved in this?
Yeah, so here in the province of Alberta, with our records at this point, we've collected over 30 genera of bees. So genera is the larger term, so that would be sort of, if you're looking at a bumblebee, the genus is the bumblebee itself, and then there are different species. At the species level, we're looking at over 180 different species here in the province. And to give you a sense of the diversity, when we talk about different genera of bees, we have honeybees, clearly, non-native, but they're here. Then we have bumblebees, we have sweat bees, leafcutter bees, and a number of other small solitary bees that are here in the province. So we have a lot of diversity, and we're still really starting to understand how that looks here across the entire province.
There's been a lot of concern across North America over the last decade about the decline of the bee population and the impact that that might have. Is that happening in Alberta?
That's a great question. We actually don't know yet. So the last 2 years of data that we've been collecting will be the first published data on bee populations here in Alberta that sort of follows a systematic way of tracking those populations. So we just don't have the knowledge here in the province yet to to understand whether we're seeing any of these declines. But if we look more broadly across Canada, we do know that at least in certain groups, we are seeing severe declines in the populations of wild bees. And those are the result of a number of different factors. And we're still just really starting to tease that apart.
When you look at crops like canola, what are the things that are important to encourage bee populations?
So when it comes to canola, canola actually does provide food for bees, which is very important. It provides nectar and pollen, but it only provides food for bees for a short window of time when it's in bloom. And so one of the things that's really important is to have what we call wildflower remnant or natural habitat remnant near these canola fields. Those natural habitat remnants can provide other sources of forage that also flower for longer periods of time, but they can also provide habitat, so nesting sites, which are really critical for pollinators. And so one of the things we're hoping to look at in our next study is trying to determine how much of that natural habitat is necessary to support healthy pollinator populations.
So if the bees weren't there or their numbers weren't sufficient, what would happen to the canola crops?
So canola is an interesting crop. It self-pollinates, and so it will persist without pollination. However, what we find is it has reduced yield without pollination. And so it's actually one of the crops that will survive just fine without pollinators. But there are lots of crops that won't. Things like alfalfa is very, very poorly pollinated, if pollinated at all, without the help of pollinators, of wild bees particularly. Alfalfa, in fact, is pollinated by a wild bee, not by honeybees, by the alfalfa leafcutter bee. And then there are other crops that can't be pollinated at all by themselves that really rely on those pollinators, things like tomatoes and blueberries, which without wild pollinators, they can't produce fruit at all.
But getting back to canola, you say it's self-pollinating, but if the bees are around, it actually enhances their production?
Yeah, the studies that have been done to date suggest that there can be an up to 40% yield increase with the availability of pollinators in the area. So whether pollinators are able to actively move pollen does increase yield and specifically increases things like the weight of seeds and the quality of, we believe, the quality of the oil that's being produced. So pollinators do have a role to play in canola production.
And so that's where it would come in, adding an economic value to the ecosystem service of the bee. How would that work?
So one of the things that the ABMI is trying to do and we're trying to help them with is understand exactly how much of a bump in quality and quantity of oil can be provided by these pollinators, be they commercial pollinators like honeybees or wild pollinators. And so we're trying to help to put a dollar value on that service in order to understand better what the economic impact is.
What are some of the challenges that you face while you're doing your research?
Well, it is very time consuming. And one of the biggest challenges for our work has been not only that the sampling period itself is very time consuming and is requires a lot of miles. We've put thousands and thousands of miles on our trucks in the last few years. But also after the sampling period, one of the things that we're interested in is the diversity of species here. And to work on diversity questions, you need to have a very good understanding of taxonomy. And taxonomy is a dying art. So we've had to self-train to identify these 180 plus species of bee, and that's been really challenging for us, and it's also incredibly time consuming. So this work in general takes a lot of time and effort in order just to get this basic knowledge.
One of the other aspects of your research is you're also looking at rangeland. What's the concern there?
So this is a really interesting question. Rangelands are marginally managed or semi-managed agricultural habitats. So some of them get a lot of grazing while others are relatively wild. And one of the things we're looking at is the flowering diversity and abundance in rangelands. Abundance and diversity of flowering plants is related to the quality of forage on those rangelands. And quality of forage is related to the ability to produce cattle and produce livestock. So we are looking at relationships between bee biodiversity and abundance and flowering plant diversity and abundance and how that might relate to having healthy rangelands to support cattle production.
The work that you're doing then, how could it be applied in other areas?
Well, so pollinators are going to be important to almost any major flowering crop. So it's not exclusive to canola for sure. Here in the province of Alberta, we have to think about things like flax as well and other legumes like alfalfa. So all of those flowering crops, we can use some of the knowledge that we gain from our canola work to apply to those crops. Perhaps more broadly, canola is becoming more and more prevalent across the globe. And so there's interest in understanding how wild pollinators interact with canola in Canada, in the US, in Europe, in Asia. And so it's a broad knowledge base that we're creating trying to understand this dynamic.
That's really amazing how broad it becomes when you start really looking at the importance and the service that biodiversity and just something as simple as bees really adds.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. These organisms, bees in particular, they're very small, but they're so essential to everything that we do. Without bees, we really would be in trouble. They're fundamental, and yet we don't pay a lot of attention to them. So it's really wonderful as someone who studies bees and sort of bee ecology to see there's more focus on these organisms and that various agencies are starting to consider how important they are for much larger processes like canola production, like rangeland management and cattle production, and understanding that these tiny little organisms that we barely even notice are really kind of running the show and that without them, we really are in trouble. So trying to figure out ways to understand their role in ecosystem services, their role in ecosystem function from the ground up. It's a great thing to be able to study.
Thank you very much, Jasmine.
Thanks very much for your time.